Is there a desire in you to not just attend revival, but live in revival? Welcome to the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. I'm your host, Isaiah Saldivar. I've been in revival for the last 10 years, as well as traveling and being a part of many revivals throughout the United States. I'm going to be sharing with you how to live a radical lifestyle of revival on a daily basis. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the broadcast. We are back. I miss you guys. All right, let's let the chat load. Type something in the comments if you've missed me. I have not been live for a week, which feels like forever. It's going to be a great night tonight. I have a lot of information. I have a great message for you guys. Let's see you in the chat. Join in. Do me a huge favor. Like the video. Share the video. That's going to help us out tremendously. We have a lot of stuff to cover tonight. I miss you guys. We're at the end of the year. We did it. Maybe I should wait for more people to get in before I start talking. We made it, y'all. We made it. We are going into our sixth year live streaming, starting in a couple days here, which is amazing. I never thought we were going to make it this far. I just thought live streaming would be, you know, like a one-year assignment from the Lord. Here we are, starting 6 years later. We've built an amazing community. We've had ups, we've had downs, but we are pushing through. We are plowing through with fresh content for you guys tonight. Believe it or not, if you know what episode we're on of the Monday nights, type it in the comments. I'm going to give you guys a second to do this. While you type what number episode we're on, I'm coming at you live with a breaking news announcement. We need you guys to get the likes up. We need you guys to like the video. It's going to help us out tremendously. So do right now, while whatever you're doing, stop doing that and like the video. That will help us out a lot. Some of you watch from your television. Maybe you don't know this, but you can still like the video from your TV. You just click on your little remote. You can hit like the video. It's going to help us out a lot. Maybe you're watching on the Apple Watch. I don't know if anybody watches from the Apple Watch. If you do, I'm assuming you just have to tap like right there. Most of you are probably watching from your cell phone. Just whatever you're watching on tonight live. I just need you to hit the like for the end of the year. Maybe you're driving in your car. Now, if you are driving in your car and you're watching me on a billboard, which is impossible, but if you are, don't like the video. The only people that should not like the video tonight are those that are driving. Wait till you get safely to your destination. YouTube, we are not telling anybody to like and drive. And then you can like the video. That's going to help us out a lot. It's going to be a great night. It's going to be a great night. We made it to the end of the year. What episode are we on? Nobody knew. Are we just delayed a lot? Okay, 199. 199. I've probably messed up that along the way. So we probably are on like 204. But I've written down 199. So I mess up here and there. But we don't have 200 yet. We'll do something special for 200. Maybe we'll do like an 8-hour stream, 10-hour stream, 6-hour stream. Who knows? Who knows what we're going to do? But we're on episode 199. Thank you for being a part. Thank you for being here. I'll give you all my dates coming up very, very soon. Some exciting announcements. Great stuff coming in the new year. Thank you, everyone that has bought my book. We came out with a book this year. That was a big accomplishment for me. Maybe not for you. Some of you write books all the time. I don't. This took me a long time to write. But thank you for those of you that have purchased the book. I want to jump right into the topic tonight, and then we can hang out and go into all the other stuff. I will warn you, this is information heavy. I have 40 verses, maybe more, that I'm going to be sharing with you tonight. So make sure you have your notepad out, your pen out. I'll review towards the end, but just make sure that you're taking notes. I spent a lot of time, energy, and effort into these streams and to preparing these streams. So please write down the information. Get the information. That's going to help us out a lot. And then maybe I'll put out like a shorter video of some of these topics here. But I want to talk about angels. Now, this is a topic not talked about much in the church. I think very mysterious, very unknown, but I want to be clear on something. Angels are everywhere. Angels are everywhere, not just in the unseen realm, but we see in scripture that angels can enter into the seen realm. They can become like human beings, and it's likely, there's almost 1,000 of you in the chat. Thank you. Please keep sharing. It's likely that most of you in the chat have some way or another encountered an angel. And I'm not just talking about in the spirit where you're like, ooh, it's floating an orb of light, which that can be an angel. I'm talking about actually physically, the Bible talks about how you might have encountered an angel and not know it. The thing about angels, why I think people don't talk about them is because people don't understand them, even though it's all through scripture. This is not a small topic in the Bible. This is a very major topic. Angels are referenced over 250 times. So this is not like one verse, three verses, 10 verses. This is all throughout scripture. If angels, let me just pose the question, are all throughout scripture in the Old Testament, all throughout scripture in the New Testament, why would we think now there would be no angels, or that we would not encounter angels, or that God is not still using his ministering spirits to protect us, to speak to us, to lead us, to guide us, to guard us. I'm going to show you that angels do all of these things in the Bible, and we might be missing out. We might be missing out by what God is saying, by what God is doing, by ignoring angels. We should not ignore them just because they work often in a realm that you can't see, the spiritual realm. Colossians 1:16 says, "For through him God created everything, and that him being Jesus." And this is, look at this. This is Colossians 1:16. "In the heavenly realms and on earth, he made the things we can see and the things we can't see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, and authorities in the unseen world." So when the Bible describes thrones, rulers, authorities, kingdoms, it's not talking about in the physical dimension. It's talking about in the unseen dimension. Everything was created through him and for him. So through Christ, angels, let's just say authorities, angels are authorities in the unseen world, whether good or bad, authorities in the unseen world were created through Christ and were created for Christ. So Paul is saying, listen, just because you don't see these things does not make them any less real. I have a cell phone here. You see my phone? All right. Show you my cute background of my kids. Okay. Now you don't see my phone. See it? Now you don't see it. When you don't see it, does that make it any less real? No, it's just as real. It's right here in my hand. You can't see it, but I can see it right now. So not being able to see something with your physical eyes does not change how real that thing is. And a lot of us think because we don't see angels, or we don't think we see them, that they're not as real as the Bible makes them out to be, but they are real. Just like when you feel the Holy Spirit or you're in the Spirit or you're led by the Spirit, your perception is not only just the natural, it's also the spiritual. When you're born again, it's a spiritual rebirth. When Nicodemus is like, if I'm born again, how can I go back into my mother? And Jesus is like, Nick, no, it's not that. It's not physical. It's a spiritual rebirth. So we're talking about spiritual things. The function of angels, which again, I have a lot to cover tonight, but I'm laying the groundwork before we get into all the stuff that I have to talk about. The function of angels in our lives. That's the important thing is like, we're going to talk about what they do in the Bible. But the goal is tonight, what do they do in our life? How do angels even apply to me? And I'm going to even go over signs that angels might be visiting you or you might have an encounter with an angel and not know it. So I'll go over all those signs. I'm going to go over all their functions as well. But here's the primary purpose in our life for angels. This is Hebrews 1:14, and it says they are to minister to the heirs of salvation. These are ministering spirits. And let me make this clear. These are God's ministering spirits. And they are here to minister to us. So it would be in your best interest to not ignore them. If we ignore them, we don't know what the Bible says about them. Could they minister to us? Yeah, they can. But why would you want to minister to someone who doesn't believe in you or acknowledge you? Imagine I go to a church to minister and the people in the church say, we don't really acknowledge that you're real. We don't really believe in you, Isaiah, and we don't really like you. I could still minister to them, but I probably wouldn't want to. So angels can still minister to you, whether you ignore them, believe in them, don't think they're real. But why would they want to? I want to be a person, hear me now, that angels want to minister to. I want to be a person that angels, God's spirits, want to be around. I want angels to want to be around me. I don't want to, in so many words, grieve angels and make them not want to be around me. If the Bible says, now not Isaiah, if the Bible says that angels, Hebrews 1, minister to us, the heirs of salvation, why would I not want that ministry? Why would I not want the angels to minister to me? 2 Corinthians 4:18 says, "So we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal." So we're fixing our eyes not on the realm that is seen, and this is where so many of you get stuck. This is where so many of you this year, 2024, you've been stuck worried about what you can see with your natural eyes, not understanding that my gaze, my focus, and my eyes, come on, share the broadcast, should be focused on the unseen realm. On the unseen realm. Not on what I can see, but what I can't see. God is spirit. We must worship in spirit and truth. I honestly believe most Christians are far too carnal. And when I say carnal, I mean natural. They are so worried about what the natural realm. When I hear preachers that constantly talk about, it's not about the spiritual realm. It's not about miracles. It's not about healing. It's not about angels. And they're always downplaying the spiritual realm. These are not preachers I want to listen to because the Bible doesn't do that. The Bible doesn't downplay angels. The Bible doesn't downplay deliverance. The Bible doesn't downplay miracles. The Bible doesn't downplay the supernatural realm. Is anybody hearing me tonight? I'm reading the chat. Somebody shout me down in the chat. The Bible does not downplay these things. The Bible actually increases these things and says, focus on these things. Focus on miracles. Focus on the unseen. For what is seen is temporary. What religious teachers will do is they will have you focus on what is seen and not focus on what is unseen. When the Bible says, focus on the unseen, not on the seen realm. So understand that there is a cosmic war going on right now. There is a real battle going on between good and evil. And it's not necessarily God directly fighting the devil. It's angels and believers fighting against the enemy. That's why Revelation 12 says a war broke out in heaven and Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. This was not directly God fighting. We know that the devil's nothing for God. It was Michael and the angels fighting against the enemy who leads the whole world astray, was hurled down to earth with his angels with him. So this was the angels, we know, are in conflict. And my point of Revelation 12 is angels are in conflict with the kingdom of darkness. And so are we. The Bible says the devil is the enemy, our enemy, the ruler of this world. So the angels are assisting us in warfare. They are opposing Satan's kingdom. They're opposing the devil. They're opposing what the devil is doing on the earth. There is cosmic war. And just like we see in Daniel 10, there are angels fighting in the spiritual realm over you right now, over your life. When you're praying, God, send your angels to war on my behalf. We are not commanding angels. The angels are not under our command. Let's be very, very clear before we go into this. They're under God's command. But Jesus says, can I ask the Father to send legions of angels? Can I ask the Father to send thousands of angels and he'll do it? There's a way to pray, and we're going to pray later, that the Father would dispatch his angels, that the Father would send his angels. I pray that all the time over my kids. Lord, send your angels. Not my angels. Lord, send your angels to protect my children. I believe that, well, I don't believe it. I know that I'm only alive right now because God sent angels to protect me throughout my life. I'll share a couple of those. I would be dead if it wasn't for God sending his angels to save me. And I believe that God sent his angels as I was growing up to save me because I had parents that were praying for me. I want to give a word to all the parents here. Don't stop praying for your kids. In fact, I didn't say this earlier, but we will be live tomorrow night on New Year's night, 6 o'clock, as we always are, praying as we go into the new year. We're not going to be praying at midnight, but we're going to be praying to get ready to go into the new year. And one of the things we're going to pray is, Lord, send your angels with us into 2025. I want the Lord to send his angels to protect me. I want the Lord to send his angels to protect my wife, to protect my family. So we can pray this thing. If you're not praying that, I don't know why you wouldn't. You're missing out. Why would you not ask the Lord to send his angels to protect you? If the Bible's true. If you don't believe the Bible's true, then you don't have to pray that. But if Hebrews 1 says that his ministering spirits, his angels, are sent to minister to us, then why would we not ask for those angels to minister to us? I've had several definitive encounters with angels. One encounter I had was, some of you heard this story, if you haven't, searched on my channel. At the age of 12 years old, I accidentally hung myself. I was in a barn by myself on a metal chain hanging in the air, should be dead, accidentally hung myself messing around. I passed out. I basically spun in a circle, tightened up the chain. I was up in the air on a chain hanging with my hands on my side. And at 12 years old, I felt what I can only describe as the softest hands I've ever felt, put their hands in the chain, open up the metal chain. I fell off the rope. I looked back and the chain was still wound up in the air. And I was off the rope, bleeding from my neck, black and blue, couldn't breathe, should be dead. Literally should be dead. But an angel pulled me off the rope. Definitively, I should be dead if it wasn't for the angel. I had another encounter where I was dragged under a broken tractor trailer at a high speed down the road for about a mile and felt the presence of angels in that broken trailer. Me and my brother should have been dead. 100% believe that with everything in me. But God, again, sent his angels to protect me. I can name multiple times where the Lord sent his angels to protect me. This is the power of God's ministering spirits. Many of you probably have met an angel in physical form and did not realize it. Hebrews 13:2 says this. Look at this. This is so good. I love the Bible. Somebody typed it in the chat. I love the Bible. I'm excited about the Bible. Some of you are like, I don't know why you yell and talk fast. I can't help it. I try to talk slow and be calm, but when I start reading the Bible and quoting scripture, I get so excited and fired up, and I'm trying to be slow, but I talk fast and I get excited about the Bible. Because look at this verse. Like, sometimes I read these verses like, where has this been? Hebrews 13:2. Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. For some of you who have done this have entertained angels without realizing it. What? Don't forget to show hospitality to strangers. Hey, do you need some food? Hey, here's $20. Hey, do you need a place to stay? Hey, let me get you a hotel for the night. You're out here in the cold. You're freezing. It's $90 for a hotel. Let me get you a hotel for the night. Don't forget. Why? Because you might be entertaining angels without realizing, which shows me that God, let me not say God. Angels will sometimes appear as humans to test you to see if you're going to show hospitality to them. Let me share a story. I shared this a long time ago. I want to share it again, okay? This might sound dumb to some of you. This might get clipped by the heresy hunters and they might use this. Isaiah Saldivar says he saw an angel at In-N-Out Burger. You can say whatever you want. I literally don't care. Make a video about it. Years ago, early days of my salvation, we were leaving a prayer meeting to go get food at a place called In-N-Out. If you don't know what In-N-Out is, it's a burger place, okay? Me and my buddy are walking into the burger place and there's a man out front with stuff everywhere. He had a tent. He was a homeless guy. He had a tent. He had, I don't even know what, a million trinkets, a million gadgets laid out all over the front of this In-N-Out Burger restaurant. And we were like, hey, can we get you some food? And he told my friend, he was like, yeah, I want a double-double, animal style, no onions. He started going off naming all of the stuff that he wanted in a specific way. My friend at the time was dealing with anger and all these other issues. And he's like, we go inside and my friend's all mad. He's like, I can't believe that homeless guy asked me to give him all this stuff, this specific stuff. He wanted this. And he was picky. My friend was mad that this guy, this homeless guy, was asking for this elaborate meal a certain way. So I was like, hey, maybe it's an angel. Maybe God's testing you. I said as a joke. I was like, maybe God's testing you. We buy the meal. Probably took 8 to 10 minutes to get the meal. We have it in the bag. We go outside. Now, this guy had stuff everywhere. Tent, everything you think of, right? We go outside. The guy's completely gone. We said we were going to go get him food. This was not even 10 minutes. All of his stuff was gone and nowhere to be found. Now, this In-N-Out is right off the freeway. So we looked around. We looked around the side of the building. We looked around towards the road. Gone. The guy was gone. I believe, you don't have to believe me. It doesn't matter to me whether you believe or not, that was an angel. So my friend's like, what in the world? I said, bro, I bet you this guy was an angel. God was testing you because you're dealing with anger and all of that if you were going to do this and get this guy this food. We get home. We had another friend that was at the prayer meeting that we had left that was like, oh, you guys went to In-N-Out. Did you get me food? Because we got food to go. We're like, no. And he's like, oh my goodness, I love In-N-Out. And we told him the story and he was like, that's the exact thing that I ordered. I think it was like don't quote me, but it was something like a double-double animal style, no onions or something very specific. And we gave him the food, our friend, that was like, that's the exact meal I order. I believe the Lord was testing my friend and that was an angel. My point is, if strangers ask you for something and you give them hospitality, you might be entertaining an angel, okay? Angels can appear suddenly and vanish suddenly. And you might hear lots of stories. I've heard lots of stories of people encountering angels, and they always came as a stranger. I have a pastor friend that was literally in a motorcycle accident, bleeding out on the side of the road, and a man showed up, gave him a tourniquet that literally saved his life, and they turned around, and the man was gone, and he was like, where'd this guy go? And everyone said, we never even saw that guy. What are you talking about? It was an angel. I have story after story of angels appearing as strangers to people. So again, you might have met an angel and not know it. Very, very important. Angels should not be worshiped and they should not be prayed to. We do not pray to angels. We do not worship angels. And I know some of you are like, I would never do this. I would never worship or pray to an angel. Well, John did this. It was so holy and so real that John started to worship the angel. Revelation 19:10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. This is John. I fell at his feet to worship him. So John encounters an angel and he's getting down to worship the angel. And this is what the Bible says. But the angel said, do not do that. I am your fellow servant and your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Don't worship angels. The angel said, I'm your fellow servant and of your brethren who have the testimony of Jesus. So the angel said, John, I'm your fellow servant. Angels are our fellow servants. Let me say that again. If you're taking notes, which you should be, angels are our fellow servants. They minister in the same way I can minister to people. Angels can minister to people as well. I'm going to show you some of the ways they minister later. So we have to make sure that we're not praying to angels, that we're not worshiping angels. Colossians 2:18 says, do not let anyone delight you in false humility and the worship of angels to disqualify you. So we should not worship angels. If you look at like Joseph Smith, who started the Mormon church, which is a cult, he encountered an angel. If you look at Muhammad encountered what he said was a demon, was an angel, or also an angel. which started the false religion of Islam. So many cults start with visiting an angel. We want to make sure that we are not getting, you know, revelation that goes against scripture from an angel, even though angels can give you revelation. I'm going to show you that later. But angels should not be prayed to, and they should not be worshipped. So that leads, and let me say one more verse, Galatians 1:8. Paul says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach another gospel, let them be cursed. So even if an angel comes and preaches to you because they can, Paul says, if they preach another gospel, let that angel be cursed. So let's go through some of the roles of angels. What is the job of angels? I have like 10 of these, and then I have like 10 signs you might be visited by an angel. I'll try not to take too long. We probably will go over tonight and go longer. It's okay. We haven't been live in 2 weeks. Just warning you, I got a lot of information. So get ready to write these down. I put these in a format where it's very easy to understand and track me because I have so much information. Just get ready to write these points down, and you can look at the verses later on your own time or rewatch the video. I'm going to give you the verses anyway and say them, but let me just go through these. Number one, these are the roles of angels. And then after, we're going to go into signs that angels have been visiting you. Number one is angels are most common through scripture, messengers of God. Oftentimes in scripture, angels are depicted as God's messengers that bring divine communication to humanity. For example, the angel Gabriel was sent to Mary to announce that she would conceive and give birth to Jesus, the Son of God. The most important message ever, in my opinion, in the Bible, that an angel brought was that, Mary, you are going to conceive the Son of God. This is Luke 1:26 through 38. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. We don't often see angels named or the names of angels, but here we see the angel Gabriel, which some believe is an archangel, sent to the virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of the king of King David. Verse 28, Gabriel appeared saying, greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you. Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think of what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, the angel said, for you found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you'll name him Jesus. He'll be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give the throne to his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever, and his kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. The angel replied, the Holy Spirit will come on you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby will be holy and he'll be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but now in her sixth month, for the word of God will never fail. Mary responded, I am the Lord's servant. May everything you've said about me come true. And the angel left her. So God uses the angel Gabriel to give Mary a message. Again, I want to make this very, very clear. If God did these things in the Bible, God can do them now. Let me say that again. Put it on a t-shirt. If God did it in the Bible, he can do it now. So God can still use angels as his messengers. Another instance is an angel acting as a messenger was found at Jesus's resurrection when an angel told the woman at the tomb that Jesus had risen. This is in Matthew 28:5-7. The angel spoke to the woman and said, do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified, but he isn't here. He's risen from the dead. So angels were often used in scripture and again, used in today to bring messages to the people of God. They would appear and bring a message. Some of you have had these encounters and your pastor, God bless him, has told you, no, you shouldn't believe that. No, you shouldn't follow that. If an angel appears to you, stay with me, and gives you a message that lines up with the Bible, why would you not receive that message? I would. I'm open to it. I am open to God speaking to me through an angel, as long as it aligns up with his word. Now, if a fallen angel comes to you and gives you a message, you're going to know it's a fallen angel. You're going to know it's a fallen angel. Why? Because you have the Holy Spirit and you have discernment. Guys, why are we so afraid? Well, what if it's the devil? What if it's a demonic angel coming to me? You have discernment, don't you? You have the Holy Spirit, don't you? Don't be so unbelieving. Don't be so frail thinking that everything's a demon, Let's be open to these spiritual encounters. If God wants to send an angel, who am I to say, God, you can't send an angel? Who am I to say God wouldn't do that? God's going to do whatever he wants to do whenever he wants to do it. So let's not be like closed off to what God wants to send. If God wants to send an angel to bring an important message, of course he can. Okay, number two, role of an angel, and I got 10 of these, and then I got 10 signs angels have been visiting you, is they are protectors of God's people. Angels are often portrayed as guardians of the people of God that will intervene in dangerous situations to provide protection. We see this, and I'm going to give you verses for every one of these claims. I am not going to make one claim tonight where I don't have a verse to back it up. So you're going to get lots of verses. Okay, so where's the verse that says angels protect God's people? Daniel 6:22 says, "My God sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth so they would not hurt me. For I have been found innocent and I have not wronged you, your majesty." So the thing that shut the mouth of the lion, could God have just went pinch and shut the lion's mouth? Yes. Could God preach to everybody at once on live television? Yes. But here's the bottom line reality. God uses people to preach and God uses angels as well. So this is the way that the Lord works, is he uses these things in our lives. And in Daniel's situation, God used the angel to shut the lion's mouth, to protect him from harm. So God will use angels. Psalms 91:11, write this down. It says, "For he will order his angels," look at this, "to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up with their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone." So angels will protect you where? Wherever you go. That is a promise, a Psalms 91:11 promise. Wherever you're going, God's gonna send his angels to protect you. When I grew up, when we got in the car, my family, pretty much every time we went anywhere, would pray for traveling mercy. That's old school, all right? You know, my mom's in the chat, my dad's in the chat. Traveling mercy was basically like, "Lord, send your angels to protect our car." I should probably do this. I don't think I do that often enough. I should pray that. Why? Because the Bible says God will send his angels to protect you wherever you go. This is a promise God gave you. They will hold you up with their hands. So angels have hands and they will hold you up with their hands. You can be in the hand of an angel. Just saying, that sounds kind of crazy and charismatic. It's biblical, y'all. It's biblical. Don't get mad at me that your pastor's not telling you that. But angels can hold you up in their hands so that you will not get hurt. And the presence of an angel protecting you is not limited to physical danger. They will also shield you from spiritual harm. Why? Because God wants to care for you, not just in the physical, but God wants to also care for you in the spiritual. So angels can protect you from demonic attack. Angels can protect you from demonic attack. Pray that. Are guardian angels a real thing? Absolutely. Guardian angels are real, but I don't think in the way where you think that you have a guardian angel all the time, but angels do guard us in that they will guard you in all of your ways. And like I shared with you earlier, I 100% would be dead if it wasn't for angels guarding me and protecting me. But angels can guard you. Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and delivers them. I'm going to talk to you about the angel of the Lord later. It's very important we know about that. So if you have the fear of the Lord, the Bible says, the angel of the Lord will encamp around you. He'll literally set up camp around you if you fear him. So those that fear him, Psalms 34:7, the angel of the Lord will encamp around you and deliver you. So angels can also bring deliverance. That's another point I'll go into later. Angels are important. They'll guard you. Now they will not guard you, very, very important, when you're doing reckless things. Do not go skydiving, which is reckless. Okay, you're jumping out of a plane with a parachute on, basically testing death. But do not expect angels to guard you when you're driving 100 miles an hour on your motorcycle through traffic. Do not expect an angel to guard you when you're overdosing, all right? They can in those situations, but don't expect it. That is why when Jesus was being tempted and the devil was using Psalms 91, telling Jesus, if you jump off this temple, Psalms 91 says angels will guard you. The devil was using the verse out of context, telling Jesus, if you do something reckless, the angels will protect you. But in reality, angels will not protect you when you're doing stuff reckless. That's using the Bible out of context. Okay, so if you're on your motorcycle swerving 100 miles an hour in and out of traffic, don't be asking angels to protect you. Number three, I just noticed I got way too much content tonight. All right, I got way too much content here. Number three is angels are worshipers of God. In Isaiah's vision of God's throne, he saw the seraphim. In Isaiah chapter 6, verse 3, they were singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord. The whole earth is full of his glory." So the angels worship the Lord continually. Their worship is not passive. It is active. And as I am preaching to you here online, angels are actively worshiping God. Also in Revelation 4, 8 through 11, I was going to read it, but I won't because it's long. We see angels worshiping the Lord. The thing is this, angels' central role of worship in the heavenly realm shows us that angels exist to worship God. When you go to church on Sunday and you say, worship starts at 11, We're not starting worship at 11. We are joining in worship at 11 because worship has been going on from the beginning of eternity in times past till now. And in a trillion years, when you're in eternity with God, you will be worshiping along with the angels. You will be worshiping along with the angels. Okay, so number three is angels are worshipers of God. Number four, angels are guides for humans. Angels often serve as guides in our lives, leading the people of God to specific places or specific actions. Where's that? I'm glad you asked. Acts 8, 26 through 40, an angel directed Philip to a desert road where he would encounter the Ethiopian eunuch. This divine guidance brought the eunuch's conversion and baptism, illustrated how God's angels guide us. Acts 8, 26 through 27. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandake, the queen of Ethiopia. So the angel guided him. That means an angel can guide us where we need to go. An angel might say, I want you to go here. I want you to go there. I've had times where I will hear a voice or something tell me, go here, do this. Is it possible that it's an angel? Yes, it is possible. It's possible that angels are speaking to you when you don't even realize it, telling you what to do, giving you divine guidance. Again, it happened in the Bible, Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It can happen again today. What God did then, he can also do now. I have a pastor friend that told me a story of his family and him basically got broken up with at the airport. His family went one way, he went another way. And they were boarding the plane. He was out getting food and did not know what gate to go to. And they were literally about to leave. And they were like, final call for boarding. And a man walked up to him and said, I know where you need to go. Your gate is here, here, and here. And my friend said, thank you, and turned around and the man was gone. And my friend was able to get to that ministry trip with his family because an angel appeared in the airport and told him where to go. If it wasn't for that angel, that man, that he told me, Isaiah, this guy literally told me what gate to go to. And then I turned around and the man was gone. The man literally disappeared. Why? Because the man was an angel giving my friend guidance in the airport to get to the gate he needed to go. How likely is it we've encountered angels and not realize it? So be open to when they're trying to guide humans. All right, number five is angels are warriors in spiritual battle. I shared with you earlier, Revelation 12, 7 through 9. There's a war in heaven and Michael and his angels fought the dragon and his angels. That's Revelation 12, verse 7. Verse 8 says, and the dragon lost the battle and him and his angels were forced out of heaven. And the great dragon, the ancient serpent called the devil, the one deceiving the whole world, was thrown down to the world with his angels. So the devil also has his angels, and they fight against God and his angels. Daniel 10, another illustration, verse 12 through 13. Then he said, don't be afraid, Daniel, since the day you begin to pray for understanding and humble yourself, your request was heard, and I've come to answer your prayer. But for 21 days, the spirit prince of the kingdom of Persia, this is a high-ranking demon in Persia, blocked my way. But Michael, one of the archangels, came to help me and I left him with the spirit prince of Persia. So this angel comes to Daniel and says, Daniel, I've been fighting for 21 days. That's a strong demon. I've been fighting the prince power of Persia, the demon of Persia. And to get to you, Daniel, Michael came to help me fight. And guess what? As I'm telling you this, Daniel, Michael is up there fighting this prince power of Persia. Michael, the archangel, is fighting this prince of power. Guys, there's an unseen realm happening right now. Do you think that was just in the Bible? No. There are high-ranking demons fighting angels even as I speak right now. So angels are, number five, warriors in spiritual battle. Warriors in spiritual battle. Number six, angels, and we haven't even gone through the signs angels are visiting you. Right now we're on roles of angels. What are the roles in our lives in the Bible? Number six is they are ministers to God's servants. Remember after Jesus fasted for 40 days and resisted the devil? This is what Matthew 4, 11 says. And I won't make any claims without giving you a verse. Matthew 4, 11. Then the devil went away and angels came and took care of Jesus. Let me say that again. Angels came and took care of Jesus. If it was good enough for Jesus, think about that. Jesus, fully man, fully God, the Son of God, and angels ministered to him. Why do you not think angels should minister to you? They did for Jesus. Why wouldn't they for us? This actually shows the compassionate role of angels that are able to strengthen and comfort God's servants during times of trial or extreme exhaustion. If you are in a time of trial or extreme exhaustion, like Jesus was, after 40 days of fasting, allow the Lord to let his angels minister to you. Allow the Lord. We see another instance in 1 Kings 19:5 through 7, when an angel ministered to Elijah when he was physically and emotionally depleted. It says in verse 5 of 1 Kings 19, then he lay down and slept under the tree. But as he was sleeping, an angel, man, all through the Bible, we see this. Why don't we see it today? Why don't we see it today? An angel touched him and told him, get up and eat. He looked around and there beside his head was some bread baked on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and lay down again. Guys, look at this. Elijah is hungry, thirsty. He's laying under a tree, exhausted, physically depleted. And an angel says, get up and eat. And he looks around and there's fresh baked bread on hot stones and a jar of water. So he ate and drank and laid down again. The angels were cooking. Let them cook. I mean, seriously, let them cook. They were literally cooking. Let them cook for you. If you're hungry, if you're needy, an angel can bring you food. An angel can bring you resources. Again, we're not, this is in the Bible. The angels were cooking up something for Elijah. Let them cook if they need to. Then the angel of the Lord came again, verse 7, and said, get up and eat some more, or the journey ahead will be too much. He's on a journey, and he's hungry, and the angel literally cooked for him. What does this show us? God cares for his servants, and God often delivered through angelic ministry provision during believers' weakest moments. Literally, let him cook. Weakest moments. All right, number 7 is angels are agents of God's judgment. Angels are often depicted as the executors of God's judgment against sin and rebellion. In Exodus 12, 29 through 30, the angel of death passed through Egypt, striking down the firstborn of every household that did not have the lamb's blood over the doorpost. So God used the angel to strike down people dead. This was the angel of death. This demonstrated God's power and justice while sparing those who obeyed God's instructions. This, to me, the whole thing about the angel of death coming, killing the firstborn, all of that, and that's really the original Passover. When we celebrate Passover, that's also what we're celebrating. We're celebrating Jesus dying on the cross, shedding his blood, and now the blood of Jesus is on the doorpost of our life, and death no longer has power over us, okay? So there's a whole analogy there, but I also believe what we're seeing here in Exodus chapter 12, verse 29 through 30, where the angel of death is passing over people, is also a depiction of the tribulation. The 7-year period that we will go through will be the most horrific moments of human history. Maybe we'll be alive, maybe not, but I do believe believers go through the tribulation, and the rapture is after the 7-year tribulation. Don't have time to go into that. You can go watch my channel why I believe that. My point in saying all that is, in the midst of this horrific time where the firstborn of every house were being killed and there was incredible screaming throughout Egypt, God protected his people. And in the same way, during the tribulation period in the book of Revelation, God will have the authority and the power to protect his people. So there will be protection there. This act demonstrates the protection of God, but also angels executing judgment. Revelation chapter 8, angels will sound the first 4 trumpets that will bring judgment to the earth, sea, rivers, and skies. Revelation 16, angels will pour out the 7 bowls of God's wrath, leading to plagues, destruction, and the culmination of divine justice. So these passages tell us angels are not just God's messengers of grace, but also God's instruments of divine justice and judgment. All right. These are no joke. Angels are to be feared. Angels are no joke. Number 8, angels are witnesses to key events. All right. Angels will frequently serve as witnesses to critical moments in salvation history. For example, at Jesus' ascension, 2 angels appeared to the disciples, assuring them that in the same way Jesus ascended, he would descend. This is Acts 1, verses 10 through 11. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, 2 white-robed men suddenly stood among them. So these men, these angels, appeared as men in white robes. What are we seeing again? Angels appearing as men. I know a lot of us think, like, when I see an angel, it's going to be an orb of light, and it might be. And it could be, but what we often see in scripture is angels appearing as people. And you know what, guys? Even after I preach this to you and I'm getting this revelation, I'm looking through these scriptures, I'm going to have my eyes peeled. I'm going to live my life with my eyes a little bit wider open tonight going, I'm going to keep my eye out for angels. I'm going to keep my eye out because I might be encountering angels more than I realize. And so as I'm talking to strangers, as I'm out and about at the hotel, at the airport with the family, at the pickleball courts, who knows? I could be encountering angels in different places. I'm going to make sure that I am eyes open to that, okay? So they witness key events. The Bible says in Acts 1, 10 through 11, as they strained, two white-robed men appeared. Men of Galilee, they said. So they're talking like humans. Why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he'll return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. Jesus left on a cloud, coming back. In the same way he left the earth, a Jewish man, fully God, left the earth, he's also going to be coming back. This is very, very clear here in the Bible. We also see in Luke 2, 8 through 14, that angels were present at Jesus' birth, announcing the good news to shepherds and glorifying God. Okay, this is Luke 8 through 14. That night there were shepherds in the fields guarding their flocks, and suddenly an angel appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel said, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you'll recognize him by this sign. You'll find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of clothing lying in a manger." And suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to those whom God has pleased." This is amazing. This angel witnessed one of the greatest moments ever and came and brought the news. And there was a vast host of the armies of heaven as well. All right, number nine. As you can see, there's a lot of stuff angels do. Number nine, angels are providers of revelation. Providers of revelation. Someone said, you can't make this up. It's scripture. That's what I'm saying, Michael. That's how I feel, bro. Angels often deliver divine revelation to God's people. Many of you might not know this. An angel gave the apostle John the visions recorded in the book of Revelation. Look at what Revelation 1:1 says. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants the events that must take place soon. Look at this. He sent an angel to present this revelation to John. Some people don't know this. I mean, I've taught every verse of Revelation. I've read it over and over and over again. I have, you know, 13 hours on my channel of just verse by verse Revelation. I have 50 something videos on the book of Revelation. I sometimes forget this. Revelation 1:1. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John. So an angel guided John through a series of prophetic visions, providing insight into the future and the ultimate triumph of God's kingdom. Angels can provide basically intermediator revelation information between heaven and earth, helping believers understand God's plan. So an angel can give revelation to help understand God's plan. Remember, if an angel gives you information that goes against the word of God, it is a what? Type it in the chat. A fallen angel. If an angel gives you information that goes against the word of God, it's a fallen angel. If an angel gives you a revelation, like Joseph Smith, for example, a New Testament, that's a fallen angel. That's a demon. If an angel gives you a revelation, like Muhammad, to start a new religion called Islam, that's a fallen angel. If you Google how Islam started, you're going to find on Google that Muhammad thought a demon came to him and thought he was going crazy and was depressed and suicidal. And his family said, no, it wasn't a demon, it was an angel. Islam literally started with Muhammad thinking a demon gave him information. Well, guess what? It was a demon. It was a fallen angel. It was a demon. All right, so they're number nine, providers of revelation. I'll go through all these points if you guys need me to after. Number 10, and then we're going to go into signs angels might be visiting you, is they are deliverers of believers. Angels can deliver and rescue the people of God from physical oppression and demonic oppression. Acts 12, 7 through 11. Suddenly there was a bright light in the cell and an angel of the Lord appeared before Peter. The angel struck him and woke him up saying, get up. And the chains fell off his wrist. Then the angel said, get dressed, put on your sandals. Now get your coat. And the angel ordered and follow me. So Peter left the prison cell, followed the angel. All the time, this is what it says, Peter thought it was a vision. He didn't realize it was actually happening. Verse 10, they passed the first and second guard posts and came to the iron gate and it was opened all by itself. So they passed through and started walking and the angel suddenly left him. Then Peter came to his senses. Verse 11, it's really true, he said. The Lord sent his angel and saved me from what Herod and the Jewish leaders planned to do to me. So angels can deliver you from physical harm and spiritually they can deliver you as well. Another example is in Genesis 19. where angels literally appeared to Lot and his family and brought him out of Sodom before destruction. These stories, these two stories I gave you in Genesis 19 and Acts 12, show us that angels are not only protectors, but they are active agents of deliverance, basically carrying out God's power and rescuing his people from spiritual and physical peril. Angels can bring deliverance and angels can help in deliverance. I shared before, actually, I have the story in my book where we were doing deliverance on a guy who's an MMA fighter and we could not hold this guy down. We did everything we could to hold this guy down. We cannot hold him down. This is in my book. Shameless plug, How to Cast Out Demons, Everything You Know About Deliverance on Amazon now. We couldn't hold the guy down. And so we prayed, Lord, send your angels to hold him down. The moment we said that, the guy was flat on his back. One arm went to the ground. The other arm went to the ground. And the demon started speaking out of the guy, the MMA fighter we were doing deliverance on. And this is what the demon said, out of the man, get these things off me. Get these things off me. And the man, the guy, no one was touching the guy. He was out of control. We couldn't control him. His hands were pinned to the ground. And we said, I said to the demon, get what off you? And it said, these angels are holding me down. And I kid you not, God is my witness. I did this. Where his hands were held down, I just did this. I put my hand there because I was like, I'm touching an angel. I'm touching an angel. I really did. I was like, I'm touching an angel right now because the demon was saying the angels are holding me down. And so I'm like, they must be right here. I wanted to touch an angel. You probably would have done the same thing. My point is, angels can help in deliverance. We don't command them. We ask the Lord for help. We ask the Lord. This guy was out of control. There was at least five of us guys trying to hold this guy down. He was thrashing and punching and kicking. So we needed help. And we said, Lord, send your angels. And the Lord did. It was right there, holding him down in front of my eyes. You can't make this stuff up, guys. This is the power that the Lord does and gives his warfare angels, all right? Last thing, those are the 10 roles of angels. And I'll go over recapping all this after. Last thing I want to say, not last thing, because I'm going to go, I have, you know, 20, 30 minutes, I'm going to go. But about this topic, don't let your angels be bored. If God has assigned angels years ago, many years ago, 10 years ago, plus, the Lord revealed to me, Isaiah, there's so many angels bored because I've assigned them to believers and believers are never asking for them their help. Imagine God assigns five angels to you and says, all right, your job is to make sure Yvonne, make sure Bill, make sure Moxie, make sure Julie, make sure Candy, make sure that they do whatever they need, all right? Do whatever they need. And then you never ask the Lord for help. You never ask the Lord, send your angels to help me. You never say, angels, will you help me? And they're just bored in heaven because they've been assigned to minister to you, to help you with deliverance, with healing, with ministry, with whatever. But you never ask God to send them and they're just bored in heaven. I don't want my angels to be bored in heaven. I believe in angels. Call me crazy. Call me hyper. You're a hyper charismatic. No, I just hyper believe in the Bible and you don't. I just actually believe all this stuff is real. I don't just read the Bible and go, oh, that was cool for back then. No, I actually read it and go, I believe all this. I believe that what angels did then, they can do now. You don't have to believe it. You can stay in your dusty, crusty, lame religious life where you don't believe in the supernatural, where you don't believe in deliverance, where you don't believe in the stories, you don't believe in the miracles, you don't believe in the testimonies, you don't believe in all that. Stay there. Stay there. Stay bored. Stay dry. Stay dull. Stay dead. I'm not. I said yes to God and I want all of it, okay? Now, let me say this thing, and then we're going to go into signs angels have been visiting you. In the Bible, we're going to see the angel of the Lord. You're going to see it many, many, many times. Many people believe, and what I believe is the angel of the Lord was basically Jesus in the Old Testament. He appears over and over again, and it was distinct when it was the angel of the Lord. And we know this because the Bible says in Exodus 23 that the angel of the Lord had the power to forgive sins, and we know that only God has the power, no other angel, and only God can. We also know that Exodus 23 says the angel of the Lord has the name of God on him. We also know that in Isaiah 63, in all of their afflictions, he was afflicted when the angel of his presence saved them. So we also know that in Genesis 18:25, the angel of the Lord is called the judge of all the earth, which we know the judge of all the earth is a title that only God has. We know that in Genesis 16, Sarah calls the angel of the Lord God. We know that in when Jacob wrestled the angel of the Lord, he said, I've wrestled God, I've seen God and lived. So over and over again, we also see that when the angel of the Lord appeared in armor to Joshua, Joshua worshiped him and the angel didn't say, don't worship me, because it was God in the angel form. So when we see the angel of the Lord, we're seeing God. That's God in spirit form on the earth. Some believe it was Jesus in spirit form in the Old Testament. There's much debate on this. You don't have to believe this. I personally do because of all the verses I listed to you. But over and over again, we're going to see the angel of the Lord being distinct and being in places where, and for like forgiving sins, being worshiped, where other angels would say, don't worship me. The angel of the Lord allows people to worship him because it's God, right? The other angels say, don't worship us. So that's why I believe the angel of the Lord is God. Okay, now let's go to 10 signs you may be being visited. Let me say it again. How can I word this? I should have wrote this down. 10 signs angels have been visiting you and you don't realize it. That's better. 10 signs angels have been visiting you and you don't realize it. Sign number one is when you get a sudden awareness of God's holiness. Oftentimes when an angel is around you or you encounter an angel, it'll evoke an awe and a reverence for God because angels reflect the glory and the holiness of God, and they remind us of God's majesty. And a biblical example would be in Isaiah 6, 1 through 5, where Isaiah has a vision of the seraphim who are angels. And this encounter led him to realize his own worthiness and the holiness of God. Isaiah 6, 1 through 5, it was the year in the king Uzziah died that I saw the Lord. He was sitting on a throne and the train of his robe filled the temple. Attending him were mighty seraphim, each having six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they flew. They were calling out to each other, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of heaven's armies. The whole world is full of his glory. Their voices, these are angels, their voices shook the temple to its foundations, and the entire building was full of smoke. Then I said, so here's Isaiah's response to seeing God and these angels worshiping the holiness. Then I said, it's all over. I'm doomed, for I'm a sinful man. I have filthy lips, and I live among people with filthy lips. And look what Isaiah says. Yet I have seen the King, the Lord of heaven's armies. So in the presence of Isaiah seeing God and these angels, he had a deep response of the greatness of God, the presence of God, and his response was humility and worship. So if you're in an encounter with God, or you're in a spiritual encounter and you feel a deep sense of holiness, humility, and worship, this could be a sign of angelic interaction. The night I got saved, I felt that. When I was at the altar and the presence of God came over me, I realized like, oh, I'm unclean. Guys, for years, I didn't realize what I was saying, what I was doing, who I was doing, where I was going. I didn't realize it was unclean. I didn't even feel the least bit convicted. Yet all of a sudden at that altar, when the presence of God, and I also believe the presence of angels, were there, I felt unclean for the first time. I felt unholy and unworthy and unclean, and my sin was brought before me. Type one in the chat if when you had your encounter with God, you immediately felt unholy. You felt that sense of uncleanness. It was a great thing because it caused me to repent. It caused me to say, God, I repent, wash me, cleanse me. How could I want to be washed if I didn't even realize how dirty I was? But in that presence. So that could also be a sign of angelic visitation where you feel a sense of awe and awareness of the holiness of God. So that sudden awareness of, oh man, God is holy. He's majestic. That could be an angelic interaction, all right? Sign number two that you've had an encounter with an angel is unexplained protection or rescue. Angels are known, as I shared earlier, to protect God's people. And sometimes when they can intervene in dangerous situations. These instances may feel miraculous or inexplainable. For example, in Acts 12, 7, chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, Peter has a miraculous escape from prison, which involved an angel leading him out safely. There's no explanation. There's no explanation. If you have, now I want to know in the chat, if you have narrowly escaped harm or danger or death, and it seemed like, this is beyond coincidence, there was probably angelic involvement. I shared earlier, 12 years old, I'm hanging on a rope in a barn, no one's in there, and soft hands reach in the rope, opened up the chain, well, I keep saying rope, but it was a metal chain, opened up the metal chain, and I fell to the ground bleeding at my neck. I should have been dead, but an angel pulled me off. I had another moment where I almost jumped off a balcony and a voice told me, go lay down. That was also, I believe, the Lord. I also believe it was an angel. There was another moment where I was drug under a tractor and someone showed up in that tractor. I had an out-of-body experience where I was out of the tractor trailer that was broken, but I felt like there was something in that trailer, that upside down broken trailer with me, that was also an angelic presence. These things are inexplainable. Okay. Me and my brother got drug upside down in a broken tractor trailer with our friend driving a massive commercial tractor a mile down the road. When they flipped that tractor open upside down and me and my brother were under there alive with barely a scratch, barely a scar, what was it? Inexplainable. You cannot explain how we were alive. If you've been through something, yeah, like a car wreck, Brian says, it was probably an angel. If you had a near-death experience where they say, you should have been dead, you were within inches of losing your life, it was probably an angelic experience. So unexplained protection or rescue, probably an angel. Number three, dreams or visions. Angels often communicate through dreams or visions. They bring messages, like earlier, of guidance, warning, or encouragement. A biblical example is Joseph received angelic guidance in a dream about Mary and Jesus' safety. This is in chapter 1, verse 20, and Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now, angels can speak to us, not limited in a spiritual form or physical form, but they can also speak to us in dreams. Jacob saw angels at two very important times in his life. He first saw them on a stairway to heaven when he was alone and running away from home. Years later, he saw them in a dream and God told him to go back home. That's in Genesis 28 and 31. So he saw angels in a vision and angels in a dream two times in scripture. In the New Testament, the story of Joseph, the husband of Mary, contains the most dream appearances of angels in scriptures. Joseph shows that extreme obedience by doing what the angel said, okay? Matthew chapter 1, verse 20. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Go give birth to a son, and you're to give him the name Jesus, because he will save people from their sins. So an angel appears to Joseph in a dream and tells him, listen, you need to marry Mary. Don't be afraid. The Holy Spirit is giving birth to Jesus in her. Okay. Matthew 1:24. When Joseph woke up, look at this, very important. He did what the angel of the Lord said and took Mary home as his wife, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave the name Jesus. So he has a visitation from an angel in his dream, does what the angel says, and the angel told him something extremely important. Marry Mary, okay? Take her to be your wife. He didn't wait, he did it immediately. He obeyed because he knew that it was an angel from God. How will I know, Isaiah? You'll know. If an angel speaks to you in a dream, you will know. Again, I'm afraid that it's a fallen angel or a demon. Don't be afraid. Pray to God. Ask for discernment. You'll know when God is speaking to you, when he tells you to do something. That was obedience, all right? Look at this, Matthew 2, chapter 2, verse 13. An angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. So here we have angels, the angel of God, presence of God, showing up in Joseph's dream. So the Bible makes it clear, though, the angel is showing up in his dream. So Joseph is having a dream, and then an angel shows up in his dream, meaning angels can appear in our dreams. Angels can appear in our visions. The angel said, get up and take the child and his mother and escape to Egypt. Stay there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to kill him. Look at the pattern here. Watch what Matthew 2:14 says. So he got up and took the child and his mother during the night and left for Egypt, where he stayed until the death of Herod. And so was fulfilled what the Lord had said through the prophet, out of Egypt I called my son. What do we see? He gets a dream. He wakes up and obeys the dream. He gets the dream. In the middle of the night, he wakes up and obeys the dream. Matthew 2:19-21. Again, after Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph and says, go and take the child to the land of Israel. For the man who was trying to take the child's life is now dead. So get up. So we see now three times where Joseph is having a dream and an angel appears in his dream and guides him. And then go back to what I said earlier. If God did it then, God can do it now. So angels can appear in dreams and in visions. What's the application? Here's the application. Pay attention to vivid, meaningful dreams that align with the word of God and his character. They can be angelic messages. That's the point. Pay attention to vivid and meaningful dreams. It could be the angel speaking to you. Number four, sign you might be having an angel visiting you, or you might have encountered an angel. Unusual lights or unusual glows. Angels are sometimes associated with radiant light or divine glowing, reflecting the glory of God. This might manifest as a soft light or an unexplainable bright light. If you're seeing darkness, if you're like, a dark figure showed up to me, all right? I'm not trying to insult your intelligence. Probably not an angel. Actually, let me quote that. Probably a fallen angel. Okay, man, there's angels and there's fallen angels. Fallen angels are demons. So if it's a bright light, it's probably an angel. The Bible says in Matthew 28, 2 through 3, suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, rolled aside the stone. For an angel of the Lord came down, rolled aside the stone and sat on it. His face was shining like lightning and his clothing was white as snow. And we also know in the book of Acts, when the men showed up, they had bright robes on. Bright lights, angel. If you saw an unusual light or an unusual glow, it was probably an angel. So if you see this brilliance, unusual light, especially in a spiritual setting, it might be linked to angelic presence. If you're in a prayer meeting and you see a bright light or a bright orb or a voice speaking out of a light, object of light or image of light, it's probably an angel. When you are in church worshiping, believe me, there are angels all around. These are God's ministering flames of fire, his servants, and they inhabit our worship. The same way God inhabits the praise of his people, angels do as well. So you have 1,000%, if you are a believer in the chat, you have been in the presence of an angel. You might not have felt it, you might not have sensed it, but that bright light is an angel. Now, some of you are like, what about all these orbs? What about all these things happening lately where people are filming these bright lights and these orbs flying around? Could those be angels? Yes. Yes, they could be angels. If an angel can appear as a man, of course it could appear as a bright light. Of course it could appear as an orb. I'm not saying 100% definitively every orb that you see online is an angel, but I'm saying it's possible. It's not out of the realm of possibility that these bright lights are angels. All right, number five sign, hearing a voice or an inner message. Is it possible that angels could speak to you inwardly or outwardly as a voice? Yes. Yes, they can deliver specific messages, either audibly or as profound impressions on the heart. These messages are clear, concise, and aligned with scripture. A biblical example is the angel Gabriel spoke directly to Mary about God's plan to give birth to Jesus, Luke 1, 26 through 38. We know that the angel came to her. I read it earlier. Angels can speak directly inner or outward. Let me explain another mystery to you that I won't go into detail on, but I just want you to chew on this and think about this, okay? I'm not going to create a theology on this, but just let's think, okay? Angels are spirits, yes. Type in the chat, is an angel a spirit? Yes. Is a fallen angel a spirit? Yes. In Matthew chapter 12, Jesus says that demons, fallen angels, call us their home. Is it possible, see where I'm going, that a demon or a fallen angel can live inside of you? Yes. That's principally where demons live. They're spirits and they live inside of us. In the soul, they go into our bodies. Can a demon that is inside your body speak to you? Of course they can. Anyone that's been demonized know a demon has spoke to them. We know many stories of people saying, I heard a voice. I've had demons speak to me before I got delivered and I didn't realize it was a demon speaking to me, but it was. Okay, so we know demons can speak to us inwardly. Can a demon also speak to us outwardly? Yes. Can a demon speak to us from the outside? Some of you have heard a weird voice in your outer ear, like a demon speaking. Yes. Okay. So the answer is yes to all of those things. So fallen angels, are you tracking? Can do all those things. What makes us think that God's angels can't also do those things? Are you tracking? Can an angel enter into you? It's possible. Can an angel speak? God's angels speak to you? Yes. Because they're spirits. Now, I would never create a theology if we have angels living in us. I don't know, but I do know that it's possible for God's spirits to do what fallen angels also do and speak to us inwardly and outwardly. Again, I'll never create a theology. I'm not going to write a book about angels in us. My point is, it's possible. It's possible, all right? In the same way demonic spirits can speak to us, angelic spirits, we see this 250 times in scripture, can also speak to us. They can speak in an inward voice or an outer voice. Now, it's also possible that one of God's angels are speaking to us and we just think it's the Lord, okay? And we say, the Lord's telling me this. It's possible it's not the Lord, it's an angel. I just don't know how we would discern that, right? When I say like the Lord's telling me this and I hear the voice of God, it could be an angel. I just don't have that level of discernment. Maybe some people do, but I don't always know, is it the Holy Spirit or is it an angel? Either way, it lines up with God's word, and I'm going to obey that voice. So I know that angels can, as I showed you earlier many times, they can speak to you. All right, so number five was hearing a voice or an inner message. So either you're hearing a voice or it's an inward message, could be an angel. Number six is encountering a stranger that has divine insight. Let me say that again. A stranger with divine insight. Angels can sometimes, we've explained this exhaustively, take on human form to deliver messages to help in times of need. These angels can feel extraordinary as the person who's giving the message seems to have divine knowledge or divine purpose. Like the guy at the airport that told my friend, go to this terminal, go to this gate, your flight's about to leave, your family's waiting for you. And my friend said, thank you, turned around, and the man was gone. The man had divine insight and told my friend where to go to get on his ministry trip with his family that was waiting for him about to board. He would have missed his flight, but an angel appeared that had insight. How did this random stranger know my friend that's running through the airport needs to go to a certain gate and know exactly what gate, what terminal? It was because the stranger had divine insight. If you've met a stranger that had information that you're like, I feel like you shouldn't know that about me, it could have been and probably was an angel. Let me show you this in the Bible. Genesis 18, verse 1 through 8. Verse 1 says, then the Lord appeared to Abraham near the oak belonging to Mamre. One day, Abraham was sitting at the entrance of the tent in the hottest part of the day. He looked and noticed three men standing nearby. Three men. When he saw them, he ran to meet them and welcomed them, bowing to the ground. My Lord, he said, if it pleases you, stop here for a while. Rest in the shade of this tree while water is brought to wash your feet. And since you've honored your servant with a visit, let me prepare some food for you before you continue your journey. All right, do what you've said. So Abraham ran back to the tent and said to Sarah, hurry. There's get three large measures of the best flour and make some dough and make some bread. Then Abraham ran out to the herd and chose a tender and gave it to his servants. Quickly, they prepared it. When the food was ready, Abraham took some yogurt and milk and roasted meat, and he served it to the men as they ate. Abraham waited on them in the shade of the trees. Abraham did not know, he was unaware, that the three men that were visiting him were angels. So these three men come and he's like, get some food, get some bread, let's provide for these guys. And he's speaking to these men, catering to them, giving them literal food, but these were angels. He was unaware. So the application is, if a stranger impacts your life in a supernatural or timely way, it might be an angelic encounter. Now, some of you are like, I think my wife's an angel, all right? Or you're like, I think my husband's a fallen angel, okay? That's all we're talking about, all right? I think my wife's an angel, but I'm talking about actual angels. Actual angels, like, these are people that have impacted your life. These are usually strangers that came for a short season that had divine revelation or divine insight or divine wisdom that appeared to you. Like I said in the beginning, if they appeared to people in the Bible, why couldn't they appear to you? So encountering a stranger with divine insight, you might have encountered an angel. We're almost done. We're going to go probably a little bit longer. Jared, if you're watching, just be ready to start a little bit late. Number seven, an intense feeling, write this down, an intense feeling of being watched over. An intense feeling of being watched over. Angels are tasked with watching over the people of God. And this feeling might bring comfort rather than fear as you sense God's divine protection. Psalms 91:11, I told you guys earlier, he will order his angels to protect you wherever you go. They will hold you up in their hands so you won't even hurt your foot on a stone. So if you have a strong sense of like, ooh, I feel like something's watching me, protecting me, especially in prayer or worship, this could indicate the presence of an angel. If you have gone through things in life where you felt like there was a hand guiding you or protecting you, could be God. But remember, it could also be an angel. And I think a lot of times, and this is not wrong, we just go like, God's protecting us. When in reality, it's God's angels. It is God inadvertently through the angels. But I think a lot of times, and that's fine. If we give God glory for something an angel does, we should. Because we shouldn't worship angels or pray to angels. But just know at times when there's angels around us or we feel a sense of like, I feel like I'm being protected from something. I feel like I'm being guarded from something. It could be an angel that is guarding you or protecting you. That sense of protection, that emotion of like something is watching out for me. Has anybody in the chat ever felt like something was watching out for you? You had this weird sense of protection in a place of danger or a place where you feel like you shouldn't be protected? That's Psalms 91:11, brother. Then it could be an angel protecting you. It's that intense sense of being watched over, all right? Number eight is witnessing unexplainable natural phenomenons. This would be like the glowing orbs. Witnessing unexplainable natural phenomenons. Angels have often been associated with events in nature, such as stars, winds, or other extraordinary occurrences. The angel announcing the birth of Jesus was accompanied by a host of angels filling the sky with lights and songs. I mean, imagine that. Angels filling the night sky with bright lights and singing. That's an unexplainable phenomenon, all right? And if you witness that, you're like, in the natural realm, again, lights, orbs, these things, these could be the presence of an angel. Luke 2, 13 through 14, suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven. They were all praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven, peace to earth whom God is pleased. So that could be natural events with spiritual significance could signify angelic involvement. Number nine, confirmation through scripture. Angels always act in alignment with God's word, and a sudden illumination of scripture or an answer to prayer that seems divinely orchestrated could signal angelic help, okay? Angels, remember, guided Philip to the Ethiopian eunuch, enabling him to explain Isaiah 53 in Acts 8, 26 through 40. If scripture comes alive to you in a certain way that addresses your situation, that could be part of an angel's ministry. Part of an angel's ministry could be them ministering to you while you're reading the word of God. We don't even think about that. As I'm reading the scripture and all of a sudden the scripture gets illuminated, and I feel like it's being explained to me by some supernatural way. I don't know how this is happening, but it's being illuminated. Could it be the Holy Spirit? Yes, but it could also be an angel ministering to you the word. Because angels minister. Angels minister to Jesus, and angels can minister to us, all right? Number 10, an overwhelming sense of peace. Oftentimes, number 10, an overwhelming sense of peace. Oftentimes, angels would say, do not be afraid. And their presence would calm fear, would calm anxiety, would calm turmoil, and would leave people with a profound sense of peace and joy. Again, Luke 2, 8 through 14, they were terrified, but the angel's message brought peace and joy. The angel says, do not be afraid. I have good news. It's going to bring joy to all people. Matthew 28, verse 5, the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. So oftentimes the presence of an angel would bring first fear, but then an overwhelming sense of peace, an overwhelming sense of awe. If you're going through a trial and then all of a sudden you get an overwhelming sense of peace in that trial, it could be the presence of an angel. And like I said in the beginning, it's very highly likely that many of you have angels around you, even as I'm preaching. I would not be shocked if there was an angel in my studio right now in my office as I'm preaching to you guys that's here helping me and illuminating things and bringing forth things. It wouldn't shock me. I've had many people say, I saw a vision while you were preaching. An angel was walking behind you as you were preaching. I've had people tell me, I saw a 20-foot tall angel behind you while you're preaching. I've heard that so many times as I've traveled. People are like, come to me freaked out. I saw an angel behind you while you're preaching. I believe it. I don't doubt it one bit. But if you want to grieve angels, if you want to be a person angels don't want to be around, be an unbeliever. Be one of those that goes, I don't believe that this is possible. I don't believe angels can do this. Guys, angels are all around us. Angels are all among us. And God is working through these angels to minister to his people. Let me say a prayer for you. Let's ask the Lord. Someone says, Isaiah, you talk so fast, my notes are a hot mess. You're going to have to rewatch it and go through. And if you guys want the end, I can go through each point one more time before we end. But let me pray. Let's pray that the Lord would release his angels. Let's pray that whatever angels God has for us, that the Lord would release them and they would help us. I don't know about you, but going into 2025, I need the help of every angel that God's got for me. I need the help. I need all the help I can get. I've been tired. I've been weary. I've been like going into my sixth year. God, what do you want me to do? How much more can I say? I need the help of the Lord's angels. Now, if the Bible didn't tell us that they were God's servants to minister to us, I wouldn't be asking for this. But the Bible says this hundreds of times. So let's ask. Let's ask the Lord for his angels. Let's ask the Lord to dispatch them. Let's ask the Lord to let his presence be known in our life through his ministering angels. Father, right now we come to you, God. We ask you that you would send your angels to us, Lord. Father, these are not our angels. We don't pray to them. We don't worship them. But God, I'm asking, I want you guys to pray this as well. God, send your angels to my family, Lord. Send your angels to protect my kids, God. Send your angels, God, to protect my house. Send your angels, God, to guard me and to guide me into what you want me to do. Father, I pray in the same way in the Bible, angels brought messages. Lord, let them bring messages to those that are viewing live or on the replay. God, let those angels protect people in the chat, protect people watching on the replay. God, let those angels be dispatched into the earth to protect the heirs of salvation, God. Lord, whatever angels you have on assignment for my life, Lord, send them to my life. Send them to my family. Send them to my friends. God, send messages. Lord, use them to guide me in the times where I feel like I don't know what to do or where to go. Lord, send your angels to guide us. Send your angels to direct us. Father, we will not pray to them. We will not worship them. We will give you all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise. But I ask you, Lord, in the way that it happened in the Bible, let it happen in our lives. God, I pray that you'd give us discernment to know whether it's an angel from you or a fallen angel. God, I thank you that you're giving discernment to people in the chat that they will know whether it's an angelic angel or a fallen angel, that God, you are faithful and you are just and you are merciful. You are merciful. Father, I pray, send your angels to our house. I pray that God, my home would be a place where angels want to dwell. Come on, pray that right now. God, I pray that my home would be a place that angels want to dwell. Let it be a dwelling place for your angels, your ministering spirits, God. Father, we thank you for your ministering spirits. We thank you for your angels, God, that are ministering to us, Lord, the way they did in the scripture. Thank you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Lord, you are the one that created them. The Bible declares that they were created through you and by you and for you. So Lord, we pray that you would send them to us so that we can do what you've called us to do. That's the only reason, God, we want them, is so that we can do what you've called us to do. We honor you, Jesus. We bless you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We give you all the honor. We give you all the glory. And we give you all the praise. We will not idolize them. We will not put them in the place of you. But God, we will continue to worship and honor you. I pray the Lord that they would visit us in dreams. I pray tonight that angels would visit us in our dreams and give us a message so we can follow you even better. I pray, God, the angels would come into our dreams and into our visions. Lord, to lead us to you, to your scripture, as they did in the Bible. Thank you, Lord. I pray this word tonight that you've given me, God, would not fall on dry ground, but it would fall on good soil and good ground and would grow into a harvest that would produce fruit, I pray, in Jesus' name. God, let this produce fruit, I pray, in Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, do what only you can do. Pour out your spirit. Pour out your anointing. Pour out your fire. In Jesus' name, God, we bless you. We love you. We honor you. We worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Guys, what an amazing night. We're going to hang out for a while here. Jared said that they're running behind anyways, so that's good. But I want to give you a chance to partner with us. We need your support. As you guys know, I took last week off to be with the family and spend time with the kids. And so our income is on these streams. Most of our income comes through these streams. So please pray about supporting us. I'll also go through those 10 points of the roll and then 10 points of signs all as well. I'll recap that as well for you guys. Don't let me forget. But I want to give you a chance to give right now. Pray about becoming a monthly partner. We need partners for 2025. I'll probably send an email, which I've never done. So if you've given in the past to our ministry, I'll probably send an email because we do need support. A lot of people cancel because their partnership was 1 year. So the end of the year, excuse me, we have a huge cancellation. So we need new partners going in 2025. Talk to your spouse, pray about it, about partnering with us for 2025. You can do that on our website, isaiahsaldivar.com/partner, or scan the QR code and you'll get 70 sermons if you partner monthly. You'll get 20% off the merch store. And then every Thursday at 1:30, all of our monthly partners gather together to pray. Every Thursday at 1:30. Weekly, we gather to pray. And if you're a monthly partner, you'll get a link to that. The code and the meeting ID always stays the same. So please, guys, if you're not signed up tonight, please sign up. I'm not a beggar. I'm a believer. We do need your help, though, with monthly partnership. You can also give one time. If you're like, I don't want to do the monthly, you can give one time. Or if you do monthly and you want to give extra to these messages and sow into good ground, you can do that as well. You can go on Venmo, at Isaiah Saldivar. You can go on PayPal, Zelle, Cash App. All of it is on screen right now. All right. So there it is. We appreciate you guys. How much? Any amount. Any amount. $1 a month, $100 a month, $10 a month, $1,500 a month. Doesn't matter. any amount. You can give 50 cents a month and you'll get a link to that and all the perks and all that, okay? We really appreciate it, guys. We've been doing this full time, trusting the Lord. We're going on to our sixth year in January. We've never been on a salary. We've never had, like, you know, a guaranteed income at a church. We're just going by faith. We're just serving the Lord. We're doing it free to let everybody that can view. And if you could afford it, do it. Here's the deal. If you have $5 in your bank account and you have no food in your pantry, do not give your last $5, right? Unless the Lord really speaks to you, but I'm telling you, don't give your last $5. Be wise with your income and your finances. All I'm saying is it's good ground if you want to sow a seed. The Bible says when it comes to finances, if you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. Basically, if you sow a little bit, you only reap a little bit. So that's where we're at with that. All right, we're going to stay on and hang out a little bit. I'm going to recap these 10 points. And we're also going to go after this to Jared and Candace's stream in, I don't know, let's say 7:40. All right, let's say like 7:35, 7:40. Is that cool, Jared? We'll go over there. They're going to be doing prayer and worship. And then very important, guys, and I'm not done, so stay on. Tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, Jared will be over probably, and we're going to be praying. We're going to praying for about an hour, healing, deliverance, really leaving everything in 2024 and going in. I want to go in with fire to 2025. So we're going to be prophesying over you guys, praying over you guys tomorrow night at 6 o'clock, me and Jared live together to go into the new year. So jump on. I know a lot of you have New Year's parties, all of that. That's great. We're probably going to have people over for New Year's as well, but while people are at my house, I'm going to jump on and go live for prayer because it's important. So it won't be at midnight because a lot of you are going to be in bed and a lot of you are in like East Coast this. So we're just going to do it at 6 o'clock. Let's start in prayer. Let's go into the new year in prayer. I was going to cancel because I'm like, oh, we're going to be a family, but let's do it. Let's pray together tomorrow at 6 o'clock. Let's go in prayer. We also have some exciting dates for you guys. We have, all right, here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, we have January 19th. Very important. If you're in California, I rarely preach in California. Stockton, California, Lifesong Church. Very, very important day. January 19th. 5 services. Help me, Lord. 5 services. 8:15. Let me see if I can remember. 8:15. 9:30. 11 a.m. 12:30. And 2 p.m. 5. I'll be preaching at Lifesong Church, Stockton, California. I'll have it on my website this week. Actually, I'll add it probably Wednesday. And that's very important to be there. And then January 26th, I'll be at Without Walls Church in Mesa, Arizona. Sunday morning, January 26th, I'll have, I don't know why that's not on my website. It will be on Wednesday, January 26th. And then March 16th, I'll be at the North Georgia Revival Sunday morning and Sunday night, March 16th, North Georgia Revival, Christ Fellowship Church. It's going to be a great time. You don't want to miss that. All right. You don't want to miss that. Okay. Okay. What else do we have? What else do we have for you guys? Oh, let's recap. Let's recap and then we'll hang out and talk. I'll put Carl up on screen here. My pet dove, bird, pigeon. Oh yeah, he's a pigeon. I forgot. That's on screen. Also, if you haven't pre-ordered my new book, it's out now. Amazon, How to Cast Out Demons by Isaiah Saldivar. Everything you need to know about deliverance. This book was at number one for almost 2 months straight. So thank you guys. We were at number one for 2 months. I think we just got knocked down yesterday, but get us back to number one. If you have not ordered this, I put my heart and soul into this. It's 200 pages. Yeah, 202 pages of deliverance. Everything you need to know about deliverance. I think it does deliver that what I say it's going to deliver. So you can get it for like $13 on Amazon. Thank you guys for that, supporting the ministry there. All right, let's recap. Roles of angels in scripture. Here we go. We're going to do this fast. So get ready to write it down. Number one, they are messengers of God. Number two, they are protectors of God's people. Number three, they are worshipers of God. Number four, they are guides for humans. Number five, they are warriors in spiritual battle. Number six, they are ministers to God's servants. Number seven, they are agents of God's judgment. Number eight, they are witnesses to key events. Number nine, they are providers of revelation. And number 10, they are deliverers of believers. I know I said that fast. You can watch it on the replay. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, you can watch it on the replay. Now we're going to go over signs angels have been visiting you. Okay, and you can watch it on the replay. Number one, sudden awareness of God's holiness. Number two, what finger do I use? Number two, unexplained protection or rescue. Number three, dreams or visions. Number four is unusual lights or glows. Number five is hearing a voice or inner message. Number six is encountering a stranger that has divine insight. Number seven is an intense feeling of being watched over. Number 8 is witnessing unexplainable natural phenomenons. Number 9 is confirmation through scripture. And number 10 is an overwhelming sense of peace. I said it fast. You got to watch on the replay and slow it down. Okay. All right. Let's talk for a bit, guys. I'm going to hang out with you guys for like 10 minutes. Usually I do read donations. I want to hang out with you guys for 10 minutes and then we'll read donations on stream tomorrow night. Okay. So what's going on? What questions you guys have for me? Let me see some of you guys in the chat. I've been looking at chat all night, but I want to talk to the chat and hang out with you guys for a bit because it's my favorite part. All right. I'll buy your book very shortly. Thank you so much. Is there another way to purchase offside off of Amazon? Yes. Barnes & Noble or Charisma's website. If you type in how to cast out demons by Isaiah Saldivar, you could find it online. Barnes & Noble has it and Charisma and a bunch of other places, but yes. Okay. Your new book's good. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Happy New Year, everyone. Yes, we made it. And listen, all of you that have been here the whole year, thank you. All of you that have been here since the beginning, thank you. American Top Gunner, you've been here for years. Thank you. I love you. Caroline, thank you so much. Mojica, you're so great. I thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Do you still see angels? At times, I'll see bright lights in prayer or when I'm praying for somebody, I'll see a bright light over them. At times. Just bought your book. Thank you so much. Type 1 if you order or you're ordering the book tonight. Type 1 if you ordered or ordering tonight. In about 10 minutes, Jared and Candace will be going live with worship and prayer. So stick around. Stick around. I highly encourage every one of you to stay for worship and prayer, which if you're on YouTube, it'll take you directly there. And I'll also post a link in the chat. If you have autoplay on YouTube, it'll take you there. I have it linked. So Jared and Candace will be live. If you haven't been a part of their streams, you're missing out. You need to be a part. Thank you all of my Facebook people that are ordering the book tonight. You're awesome. All right. Awesome. Awesome. New Year's Eve here. Hey, let's go. Truly love this. Thank you so much. And thank you guys. As I was preaching, I was reading the chat. Thank you for all the positive feedback. Thank you for all the positive feedback. It means a lot. It feels good to be back. I took a week off and it feels good to be back. Do angels help in getting or finding spouses or mates? I think they can help in any way, guiding any way that God has for you. Why do you think God shows me angels all the time? I don't know, Alyssa, but that is awesome. I wish I saw angels all the time. Do you prophesy? Yes, I do. I do prophesy. I do. I love you. You're awesome. Thank you. You bought 3. Thank you so much. I think we're going to get launched back to number 1 tonight. With all of you buying the book tonight, I think we're going to get launched back to number 1. Big fan since 2021. Thank you, Liz. I appreciate you. You're awesome. Jared, I'm way ahead of you, brother. Come on. All right. I'm texting Jared. I got your book. You just ordered 2. Thank you, guys. Here, let me put the book on the screen for those of you since we're talking about it. Here we go. If you scan that, the book will come up. I got so many little codes and things here, but people ask for this information over and over again. How do I give on Venmo? How do I give on Zelle? It's always there on screen, so. It's a virtual bird. It was a real bird somewhere in the world. You've opened my eyes about angels. Thank you, Helen. I'm glad. Guys, when I made a claim tonight, I was very, very intentional to make sure I had a verse for every claim. Because I don't want ever to be this like you-hoo, charismatic, saying weird stuff. It has to be scriptural. And unfortunately, a lot of pastors don't preach this stuff, so it sounds crazy sometimes, but it's scriptural. Will I be doing studio podcasts again this next year? Okay, let me talk about the studio podcast. Here's the deal. Let me be frank with you guys. It is much easier financially. How do I say this? It is more financially sensical. I don't even know how to say it. It makes more financial sense and practical sense to do Zoom podcasts and to bring people in on call because, number one, it's very expensive for flights. Then I also pay the speakers that I bring in, and then I also spend 2 to 3 days with them. So I have 4 kids, a wife, I'm busy, and I have a lot of stuff that I need to do for stream. not easy to do everything that I'm doing or to keep a schedule. I'm trying next year to upload more, which sounds crazy, but I'm trying to be more intentional about my schedule and film more organic videos of me sitting down teaching the Bible, not just streams and clips. So it was a lot of work if I bring in guests, right? So for example, I have a guest coming on in January, a new guest, and I'm working on booking new guests. We're on episode 200 almost. So it's a lot of work. And it's for me to ask him, can you fly down and stay here for 3 days to film a podcast? Is much harder than saying, hey, let's jump on Zoom at 6 o'clock and go live and talk. It's much easier doing that. And financially, I'll just be honest with you guys, the streams, how do I say it nicely? It costs more to do the podcast than come in during the night of the podcast. So I'm like negative whenever I'm doing podcasts. And it's like, I can't really be negative every podcast when this is what I'm doing for a full-time income. So I hope that's all clear. Like if I fly someone and their wife out to do a podcast, right? Or their assistant, like $2,000 for tickets. Then I say I bless them with like $1,000 or $2,000, let's just say. I'm already like $4,000. Then I take them to eat, stock the studio with food, all that. I was like, it's like $5,000 to do an episode. $5,000 does not usually come in during a podcast episode. So it's just a lot of time, a lot of work. Then I'm with them for 2 to 3 days, and that's taken away from me filming. It's taken away from time with my family. It's just a lot. So that is why we haven't been doing as many studio podcasts like that. But I will be doing stuff in person when I can this year. Like me and Jared will be doing more stuff. Like tomorrow, we're going to be live together at my house with prayer stream. So stuff like that, just stuff like that. That's just stuff that goes on behind the scenes. Stuff that goes on behind the scenes. But also it's like, if I'm bringing out a guest every week, I just can't afford, you know, $20,000 a month to have a guest out every week. That's just the bottom line. Just the bottom line. Flights are expensive, guys. It's crazy. It's crazy how expensive flights are. But that's not the only reason. It's just, it's much easier for my guest. And a lot of my guests are very busy. They're out flying. They're out doing ministry. They got stuff that they have going. They have families. And it's easier to get people on when it's a call versus flying out. For example, I'm going on shows for my book right now. Like I was on a couple big Christian television shows. And they wanted me to fly out for 4 or 5 days. And I was like, no, I can't. So they Zoomed me in to the big Christian show. I was on Zoom in my studio. Because it's like, I'm not flying out. I just can't. My schedule's too busy. I can't spend 5 days at your studio when I'm already trying to film and stream. I have an audience. I have a community. I have a family. I have stuff I want to do here. I also want to be more involved in the local church next year. That's a goal. Be praying for us. Because we do have some exciting announcements coming soon. And God willing, I have not announced this or said anything, but tomorrow's day before a new year. So I'll just announce it now. God willing, we'll be having recurring services next year. I'm not starting a church. I'm not pastoring a church. But God has been giving us, we believe, a word. And I won't say with who yet. But I mean, you guys can probably guess. So we will probably be having recurring meetings next year in California. And these will be, and we have not announced this, said anything. This is the first time anyone's hearing anything. But our goal will be family revival meetings. This is our vision. This is one of our goals for next year. It won't be until later in the year. But anyways, be praying. We don't know exactly where yet. We don't exactly know how or when. But we want to do, our vision is revival meeting services where the whole family's there, the kids, the wife, everybody's there ministering. Everybody's laying hands. Our whole family's involved. And it's family revival. That's going to be one of our big focuses for next year. So yes, we will be traveling still probably once a month or less. But I want to be more involved in the local church. I want to be more involved in church, period. I want to be more involved in in-person meetings, not only online. So yeah, I do not pastor church right now. I don't have any plans to pastor unless the Lord speaks to me. I pastored for 10 years. I know what it takes to senior lead a church, and it's not what, I don't have it right now. And I don't have the vision for it, passion for it, or the calling for it. I've already said this. If the Lord tomorrow says quit online and start a church, I will. But I can't pastor a healthy church and be online. So it's one or the other. And right now the Lord says it's online. So maybe next year, maybe in 10 years, maybe in 5 years, maybe in 3 years, I'll pastor again. But as of right now, no. Thank you, Michael. Thank you, bro. So yeah, that's where we're at. Guys, I will do whatever God tells me. That's it. If he says sell everything, move to India, move to Africa, I don't care. I literally don't care. I'll do whatever he tells me to do. I have no attachment to anyone or anything. Me and my family will pick up and go wherever the Lord tells us. I did not say yes to God to be disobedient. Whatever he wants me to do. If the Lord wants me to stream for 30 more years and reach people, then yeah, we've reached over 500 million people. If that's what he wants me to do, I'll keep doing it. I don't care. I want to be obedient to him. That's it. That's it. It's all I care about in life. I don't care about anything else but being obedient to God. And that's it. So where he guides, he provides. Where he leads, he feeds. I don't know. I forgot the saying, but the Lord's going to provide. The Lord's going to provide. All right. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Yes, Ellison. I'm glad you're online. Thank you. And honestly, I could see myself doing this until I'm in my 80s. I seriously can. Bob Larson's in his, 70s and still doing live streaming every week. So I could see myself doing this for a long time. I really can. Like I said, though, I'll go wherever he wants me to go. Are you a pastor at Modesto? No, I am not a pastor at the house church. I'm not a pastor. I just attend. I have a home church, yes, but I'm not a pastor. And yeah, I pastor you guys. Some say you're still a pastor, bro. You've been my only teacher since 2022. Yeah, I do pastor you guys. So I am a pastor virtually online, yes. And I did pastor for 10 years as a senior pastor. I already did that before I started online. And I know what it takes, and I don't want to be an unhealthy pastor, and I don't want to do what God's not telling me to do. And if God doesn't tell me to pastor church, I'm not going to. All right, we're going to go here in a minute. We're going to go here in a minute. Jared, you can start whenever you want. But I want to give the Facebook people the link. This is where we're going. We're going to worship and pray here. That's the link. Just be excited, guys, like I am for next year. God has not showed me a bunch of things and this and that and prophetic words. None of that. I'm just following the Lord. Okay? I want my life to be simple. I want to do what the Bible says. Live a clean, blameless, peaceful life. I want to raise my kids. I want to be extremely involved in their life. Involved with my wife. Involved in ministry. And live simple. I don't want to have a million employees. I don't want to become this mega, mega thing. Guys, we're about to hit a million subscribers. We do not have a staff like that. My brother works full-time, editing, thumbnails, flyers, all that stuff, podcasts, doing all that for me. I have one person on staff like that. I have no huge staff. I don't have 15 employees. I don't have a building, none of that. I don't want any of that. I don't want to become that where it's like 15 people to get to me. No, I just want to be simple, basic, living a very, very simple life, clean life, blameless life, doing what God's called me to do. I do not want to overcomplicate my life. I don't ever want to be like a mega church pastor with 50 employees. That sounds like a huge headache to me. I just want to live simple. That's it. Let me play pickleball. Let me hang out with my family. Let me preach. Let me read. Let me pray. Let me do that. And that I'm happy. Okay. Simple as possible. I want my life to be even more simple. So that's me. Okay. We're going here. This is where we're going. Oops. If you're on Facebook, that's where we're going. They're going to start here soon, and we'll be worshiping, praying with Jared and Candace. There's still 1,500 of you on here, so go over there. Go over there. And be praying for my wife. Be praying for my kids. Be praying for me. I covet your prayers. I appreciate your prayers. Love your ministry. Thank you so much. Your books are practical. Thank you. That was the goal. The goal was to be practical, so I'm glad it was. I didn't want to overcomplicate deliverance. Your most genuine, simple is the best. Thank you, Michelle. I love you too and appreciate you. Yeah, just pray for us, guys. It's just, it's plowing. It's work. This is work. It's not supposed to be easy. It's a lot of work doing this online stuff, but it's what we're called to do. We're plowing. I wanted to be a baker, but God called me to be a prophet. Hey, I was going to be a police officer and God called me to be a prophet and preach and prophesy. So yeah. I was going to be a police officer. It was my life's goal. I graduated college with a degree in administration of justice. Ever since I was a little kid, all I wanted to be was a police. I was basically about to get hired and go through the academy, and I got radically saved, and the Lord said, you're going to be a preacher. So man has his plans, but God has greater plans. All right, whenever Jared and Candace go live, I will end the stream. Go get some food, get something to eat. Whenever you're ready, Jared, my mom has the kids for the night, so amen. We got an empty house, just me and my wife. We're going to get food and amen. My mom has the kids. So I'm going to leave it at that. I'm not going to go into any more detail there, but I love you all. Please like the video. Like, comment, share. I wasn't trying to be weird by that, guys. I wasn't trying to say anything crazy. I was just saying it because I was just saying what I'm going to go do. But yeah, I don't know. I can't dig myself out of that one. I don't know what else to say. I'm just going to stop while I'm ahead. You have a great family. Thank you so much, Sheila. All right, they're about to go live, everybody. Hang tight. Hang tight. Hang tight. All right, listen. Don't get me in trouble here saying anything crazy live on air. So you guys know when I go 2 hours like this, when I've been an hour and 40 minutes, I start saying some crazy stuff. Jose has free time to worship. Listen. All I'm going to say is we have four kids. That's it. That's all I'm going to say. All right. That's all I'm going to say. I love you guys. Blessings. I'll see you guys tomorrow. I'm blushing now. I'll see you guys tomorrow. Go to Jared and Candace's now. Go here. Go here. Go here. Love you guys. I'll see you tomorrow night. Tomorrow night, 6 o'clock. God bless. I'm blushing. I'm literally turning red. Bye.
Thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of the Revival Lifestyle Podcast. If you like what you heard, go to www.isaiahsaldivar.com for more content, and please follow me on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram at Isaiah Saldivar. See you next week.